there. And, you know, when we think of, you know, the time of Christmas and when we think of Christ, you know, we have to reflect and acknowledge that Christmas, or rather the gift of Christ, was actually not, it wasn't just like a fluke or something like that that just happened out of the blues. But you see, God had promised beforehand that he will give us a son, or rather he will give us the gift of salvation. He will give us the gift of Jesus Christ, who will come to redeem us. You can think of, from the very onset when man sinned, what did God say? He said to the woman that the seed, you know, I will put enmity between the seed, your seed, and the serpent, and the serpent will strike your heel, but then the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And so from the onset already we see that there is this promise of the Son of God who will come, and who will come to restore mankind. And so really for us, when we think of the gift of Christmas, really it is the gift of Christ, God sending his Son in flesh, or God coming himself in flesh and taking our place. And it is really an opportunity for us to see what God has done for us. And so when we read Isaiah chapter 9, it says that, but there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish, who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them he has shone light. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in a battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burnt as fuel for the fire. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, and from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, when we look at the background of this, it's a prophecy that is given to, you know, to the land of Zebulun, Naphtali, and Galilee, and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And you have to think of, you know, when the Israelites were crossing into the promised land, and when they were crossing the Jordan, there was this tribes that felt like they, you know, that the land on the other side of the Jordan was fertile. It was good for their, you know, for their sheep and for pasture. And they felt that, okay, we will go and cross over, but if you can give us this side of the Jordan, which was not the initial plan of God, but then, I mean, Joshua accepted. But you see, because of that, and they now were exposed to, you know, to fall into sin. Why? Because they were outside of the boundaries, and there were not, many of them were not able to, you know, to cross over from time to time, you know, to go towards the temple. And remember, they had put a memorial of stones where, you know, the Jordan River, where they had crossed through. So they had put a memorial to remember. And at some point, some of them even turned it into an idol, so they would worship that instead of actually crossing over to go to the temple. And so because they, you know, Galilee and that proximity to other nations and it being a center of trade, it became a place of, you know, exchange. And you can imagine how many peoples are there, you know, people coming from trade from different areas. So, of course, the end result is that a lot of mixture happened. There was a lot of sin. And that's why the scripture describes for us that this was a people that were walking in darkness and that they were, it became Galilee of the nations, in that now the Gentiles were living there and people were actually lost in darkness. And when you think of the darkness of sin and the lostness of man without God, this is really the description of that. But the Bible says that the people that walked in darkness, this Galilee, this land of Zebulun and Naphtali, you know, and the half-tribe of Manasseh that did not cross over, these people that were walking in darkness, light has come to them. And a great light has come. And this is what happens, you know, when we encounter Christ. When we preach Christ, when we teach people about the salvation, about the gift of salvation that God has brought to us, that God has given us, it comes to us as a great light. Remember, God is described in various forms. God is love, but also God is light. He's also called the Father of Lights. He brings light. You know, he says, let there be light, and there was light. And even that light that he shone was the light that he shone on the face of Christ. You know, and that light is knowledge. So God brings knowledge to people who are walking in ignorance. And when we speak the message of Christ, we bring people from that place of ignorance to the place of knowledge of the Son of God. And we can see that, you know, it will be a great joy. And really the birth of Christ must be a place where we remember and see that God has brought us great joy. And that's why it says that you have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, verse 3, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide their spoil. You know, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Sin is oppressive. You know, when you think of those that live in the world, those that, you know, when we're in sin, we are helpless. I mean, everyone who's bound in religion, anyone who's bound in, you know, in witchcraft, we are helpless and it's an oppression. But then God has promised, and God promised that he shall break off that yoke of oppression and we shall live in peace. And you can see that's where it says that every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burnt as fuel for the fire. So a time is coming, and this is like a sign of victory where everything that was used for battle shall be used as fuel. But what is the promise that was given to us? And this is one of the core areas that we are able to see. Verse 6 tells us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, you have to think of it that, you know, when prophecies are given, there is what, when you look at the lines, it now speaks to in advance of the coming of Christ. And the child that is born speaks of Jesus, you know, coming as a baby, God taking on flesh and becoming a man and coming in the womb of Mary and giving us this son. But now there's a difference in that the son comes, is given. Now, when you think of that, you have to think that when something that is given, that means it is a gift. That means that God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And people can, you can have a different, the various understandings and levels of understanding in this verse, because children, I mean, they come weak. And this is, if you can think of the symbolism of Christianity, when we give our lives to Jesus, then we are made children, in that we become sons, children of God. We are given the right to become children of God. But you see, as we grow into maturity, as we become sons of God, then God gives us gifts and makes us gifts, that we become gifts unto men, you know, and to men that we can be used by God. So there's always a difference between a child and a son, because sons are those that are mature, sons are those that are led by the Spirit of God, you know, who are the sons of God, and sons are those who have taken responsibility. You know, it's one thing to enjoy the love of God as a, you know, as a baby and as a child, and there's nothing wrong with that. And God loves, you know, loves the children. He says, "Let the children come to me." And that's the place where many believers are at. They enjoy the blessings of God. They're happy with that, and they're loved of God, and indeed they're the beloved. You know, when he says, "I write to you, children, you know, because your sins are forgiven." God has forgiven anyone that comes to him, anyone that desires him, anyone that acknowledges that he is Lord. He has welcomed them into his children, into his family, and for sure he shall take them to heaven. Why? Because of their simple belief in the Son of God. But you see, there's a place of growth, there's a place of maturity. And this is where, even when we see that when Christ came as a child, he grew in wisdom, knowledge, and favor with God and man. But then there was a place where the Holy Spirit came and was rested upon him. And then now he started to walk in that ministry to become the gift to the world, to become that makes a difference. So sons take responsibility. Sons are available for the kingdom of God. Sons will say, "You know what? Even if I'm alone, even if I'm the only one who is standing to defend the gates of the nations, to defend," you know, I was remembering Psalms 127, where it says that, you know, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers build in vain. And then it says children, towards the end, it says children are a heritage from the Lord, and blessed, and they are like a quiver, they are like arrows in the quiver of a man, you know, and blessed is the one whose quiver is full, and they will defend him at the city gates. And I was just thinking of how sons, you know, where it speaks of when God gives you sons, and sons here is not gender, you know, specific, but it means that these are people who, they're arrows, in that they can be pointed against you, or, I mean, if you raise your children badly, they can be pointed against you. But if you raise them well, then they become your defense. So sons are given. Sons are gifts. And when God desires that we become gifts to the world, whether in our workplaces, in our families, to our spouses, to our children, and really there is a big growth that happens here. But here it speaks of Christ. But remember, we are in Christ, you know. And this is the place where you have to transition from looking at the Word, you know, from the outside, but also looking at yourself in the Word and seeing what God speaks of the promise that is to Jesus Christ, the promise that is to Christ, but also we ourselves partaking of the same promise. And it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." That means that, remember, the kingdom is given to Christ, is given to Jesus Christ, and he comes to rule over the nations. And remember, the Bible tells us that his kingdom shall have no end, shall be of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then we say that his name shall be called. Now, who is speaking of this? He's speaking of Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. And these are the names that were to be given to the Christ, or to Jesus Christ. And you can think of, when you look at King James, it separates Wonderful and Counselor. I know other versions look at it in one. They will call it Wonderful Counselor. But you have to think of it that Wonderful. And when you look at that word Wonderful, reflect on, think of the angel of the Lord that came to see Samson, you know, I mean, Samson's parents. And when they asked, "But what is your name?" And they were like, it's too wonderful for you. You know, it's too wonderful for your comprehension. One of God's name is wonderful. And you have to think of, you know, some people will ask, but where is Jesus mentioned as God? I mean, show me in the Bible. And this is just one of the quick places you can take them and just show them. See, his name, whose name are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. Remember, he comes as our Counselor. You only think of the Holy Spirit when Jesus said that, I will send you another Counselor, another Helper, another of the same kind, one who is like me, exactly like me, who shall come. So we can also see how the correlation of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God in the same place. He's our Counselor. He's the one that is our advocate. He's the one that, you know, that teaches us, that defends us, that guides us. He's our wisdom. He gave us the mind of Christ, and he shall be called Mighty God. Simply, someone will ask you, where is Jesus God? His name shall be called Mighty God. And we're speaking of the Son. We're speaking of Jesus Christ here. So you need to ask yourself, when you have accepted Jesus in your life, you're carrying the Mighty God. When you've accepted Christ to rule in you, when your life is hidden in Christ, indeed, God has given you the grace to be part of and to be ingrained in the mightiness of God, in the power of God. He's an everlasting Father. Look at it. Think of it. Who is it speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. He is the everlasting Father. He is also in the same Trinity. He is the same God. And that is why we can see the Trinity even being reflected. He is a Father. You know, many times we go through, you know, those moments where we at times we think of our earthly fathers, and maybe some were good and some were not good, but there is a Father that sticks closer than, you know, there is one that knows us. There is one who will never leave us. There is one who is forever. And also beyond that, he shall be the Prince of Peace. And that's why God gives us peace. Through Christ, God has made peace for us, and that we are reconciled to God. And not only that we are reconciled to God, but he also gives us inner peace where we are forgiven of our sins, and we can also bring peace to the world. And God calls us to be peacemakers, and he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And he says, verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And this is a promise that is given for Christ. You can remember when God promises David that I will put one of your descendants on the throne, and I will establish a throne for you, or your kingdom from your house that will be have no end. That is a promise that was given for David, fulfilled in Christ, who comes to rule forever and ever and ever. And also just place yourself there. When you have God, when God has started a work in you, he tells us that of the increase, that means that which you're doing, that which God has placed on you, the anointing, the blessing, the family, there shall be no end. God's promise is for us that he shall continue to grow us. Never think of yourself as decreasing. Even if practically you will see maybe one number will go down or not, there is still increase that we don't see. You must still keep believing that we are growing, and we shall keep growing. Why? Because of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. The blessing of God is for Christ, and we are partakers of the same blessing. The Bible says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, or will accomplish it. This is God's promise to us. He will do it. That's why the Bible reminds to us that it is a gift. a son is born, for to us, it wasn't born to angels. It was born to those who are walking in darkness. It was born to those who need Christ. It was born to those who need God. And as we reflect, as you know, as we start thinking of this time that we shall be, you know, start reflecting on Christ, start reflecting on the promises of Christmas, start reflecting on what God has done, may God bring us to that place of understanding and to that place of joy and peace, to know that God already foreknew us and he had a great plan for us, and he shall do mighty things for our lives. So I'll stop there, and you're welcome for any reflections as the Lord leads you. Over.
Let it rain, pour your rain.
Okay, if we are good, then we shall pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father.
Sorry,
Good. Sorry, I wasn't hearing you.
I was going to type my truth says a little bit, but let me just say it quickly. Thank you for sharing. I've never seen the Godhead in that. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. You know, sometimes you read something, especially during this season, and it doesn't now become like a routine, but the Bible tells us that the word of God is powerful and is alive, so it's breathing, and even sometimes depending on the situation, it reveals something different to you. So thank you. I think I'm going to take time to study it, but It's also what you also said about the land of
Naphtali, Galilee. Yeah.
I remember that story, but I actually didn't realize that that was not the initial plan. Mm. But you can also see God's mercy.
Yeah.
even when people decided to do their own thing.
Mm.
And not follow God's will, his hand of mercy was also there to reach out to us. It also reminds me of that scripture that talks about God is not, I'm paraphrasing now.
Yeah, go ahead.
That God is not slow. Something about saying God is not slow in terms of slack, but he desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's I've really learned a lot. Thank you for sharing.
Amen. We thank God. Yeah, indeed. I think it's Peter where he says, you know, some people keep wondering, oh, you keep saying Jesus is coming back. Why has he not come back? And it's like, God is not slow as we think of slowness, but he desires that men come to repentance. And it's true. It's the mercy of God. And I love what he says. The zeal of the Lord will do it. That means his spirit will do it for us. All these promises, his increase, you know, the peace, the, you know, the protection, that him being made wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. And all these promises are given. They are for us. And indeed, may God keep standing with us and helping us to see his truth in his word. And I know that as we reflect and meditate on it, I mean, God will allow this to settle in our spirits. Yeah, so let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace and the gift of your Son that you gave to us, that indeed we might be called sons of God, that he came to take our place, and he took our sin, and you sent him for us. We have seen your mercy. And Father, we trust in you that, Lord, you are wonderful. You are counselor. You are mighty God. You are an everlasting Father. You are God in one. You know, you are in charge of everything, O God. And indeed, I praise you that indeed your light shines forth through our lives. You know our needs. You know everything that concerns us. I commit this day before you. I commit the service, I commit the carols, I commit everything that concerns you, O God. You are the one that brings men to you.
You're the one that when you're lifted up, you shall draw men to you. And I pray that your name be praised, be glorified. Thank you for hearts that shall be saved. Thank you for hearts that shall be drawn to you. No one can come to you except that you draw them. And I pray that you shall draw men to you, O God. Even as we shall see increase, you say the increase of your government, there shall be no end. I pray for increase in our lives, O God. Them that are seeing struggles, that I'm seeing, you know, things are going back. But Lord, let that blessing of increase, there shall be no end. Let there be increase in anointing, let there be increase in knowledge, in understanding, in favor, in all aspects, O God. We are moving forward. In every direction, we shall see victory in our lives. And I pray for that one that is not saved, that, Lord, may they ask for your mercy. May they receive your forgiveness as they depend on you today. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. God bless.